Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
From newsounds.org, this is the Soundcheck Podcast. All during this period of quarantine, we're revisiting some archival performances and interviews. This one comes from 2015.
But then again, I never seen a blue sky forming like a water warming up America. And you know you find a new day dawning every single morning in America.
This is Soundcheck. I'm John Schaefer. Back in 2009, the chart-topping UK producer Fatboy Slim released a project that he called the Brighton Port Authority. It featured a number of collaborators that I like, people like David Byrne, Iggy Pop, Jamie T, who was just getting going over in the UK back then. But the list also included this person, named Emmy the Great. Now this, I thought, was a somewhat presumptuous name, especially if you're sharing an album with people like David Byrne and Iggy Pop. But when I listened to her song, Seattle, I had to admit, it was pretty great. In fact, it might be the best song on the album. In the years since, Emmy the Great has released two full-length LPs and a series of EPs, the most recent of which is called S. She's here with her band to perform the striking and moody single from that EP here in the Soundcheck studio. This is Emmy the Great with Swimming Pool.
You're so high, you look like a good time, a straight line in the sky. Jump into your blue swimming pool, and so clean and so. So new, I reach out to touch you, but you jump into your blue swimming pool.
Until I know I won't forget you.
The song is called Swimming Pool from Emmy the Great. You'll find it on her latest EP called S, an album with only four songs, all four of which start with the letter S. Swimming Pool is the name of that one. Emma Lee Moss is Emmy the Great singing, playing guitar, her brother Robin Moss on guitar, and Michael Evans playing keyboards, electronics, and as you could probably tell from her backing vocals, in this case Michael is a woman's name. Emma, good to have you with us on Soundcheck.
Oh, thank you for having us.
So this is a really nice version of this song, although as a kind of a lower-voiced person myself, I kept wanting to sing along Tom Fleming's part.
You should, you should. We need someone. Would you like to come tonight?
No. I said I wanted to. I didn't want anyone to actually hear it. But, you know, on the EP, Tom Fleming of Wild Beasts.
Yeah, that's right.
The way he mirrors your voice, it almost sounds like it's your voice fed through an octave divider.
People have said that. I asked him to do it because I think of him as having the opposite voice of me. He's just so low and substantial. And I'm quite like sort of high and floaty. And I just thought, and he only did two takes. He came and he was like, I've got a bit of a sore throat. And then he just started singing and he did not have a sore throat. He's just like, he has the voice of a reverse angel.
Well, now there's kind of a reverse version of Swimming Pool online, the worst version ever.
Oh, yeah.
What would possess you to take the worst version you've ever done of a song and put it up?
Oh, there's an online meme called Shreds. My favorite one is a Kings of Leon one. So people take footage of people performing live and then they overdub their own stuff onto it.
Okay.
And I realized in the studio a while ago that I am quite a natural shredder because everything I play starts off really, really bad to the point where if you isolate my overdubs in a mix, everyone in the room will be doubled over with laughter. So I was thinking that maybe I could do my own shreds. Maybe this could be my super talent.
So it was an intentionally bad version of Swimming Pool?
I overdubbed onto, so I took all the sound off a video that we did, and then I played all the parts really super badly. Yeah. But it was so easy. It came so naturally.
The actual video to Swimming Pool features your hologram, who also accompanies you on the cover of the EP.
Yeah.
Is that a hologram? I mean, first of all, who created that? And now who owns it? You don't have this hologram of yourself.
She's not. No, holograms are expensive.
Yeah.
And they're tricky. Apparently seagulls fly into them. This
really?
Is a problem that because I did a lot of research on holograms before all the artwork and all that. And people who have actually worked with real holograms, like the MIA Janelle Monáe West Coast, East Coast thing, I asked someone who was involved with that, what was that like? He was like, well, pigeons. Pigeons were destroying everything. You know, this membrane costs thousands, hundreds of thousands of dollars, and a bird just has to fly right through it, and it's all over.
Wow.
And I just don't have that kind of, you know, there's only three of us working. So
right,
what we've
right.
done is we've come up with a sort of DIY version of a hologram.
And what would that be, a puppet?
She's a projection that we project onto a very thin theatre screen. And
like a scrim?
Yeah, and in other incarnations, you just mess with the image in Photoshop or something.
Well, you know, I mean, we saw the late Tupac Shakur, performing as a hologram on an award show not too long ago, and it sort of brings up the idea of, can you project a musician's performance? I mean, you talk a little bit about this in an article you wrote for The Guardian.
Oh, yeah. I mean, my thing was touring, you know, can be quite, I mean, it's so fun, but it can be quite grueling. So
right.
I was thinking at some point you could just hire your hologram to do it all for you. And you just sort of like, you know, keep tabs on it, watch Netflix. And at the end of the night, ask her how much money we made.
Right, right.
But no, I think the best reference for the future of music and holograms is a South Park episode where Michael Jackson's hologram goes on the run.
It's almost important. Like, that old tale of the golem, you know, the man that you make out of clay. And then you lose track of your creation and all
AI,
hell breaks loose.
AI is going to come and get us all. But we don't think that's true because we get so many technical difficulties that we think AI is just going to keep breaking down.
Yeah. Unlike human intelligence, which of course never breaks down. Emmy the Great's with us here in the Soundcheck studio. S is the name of the latest EP. Now, you were born in Hong Kong, right?
Yeah.
But raised in London.
Uh-huh.
Now living here in New York.
In Brooklyn, yeah.
There's an old Italian saying that traveling forms youth. Do you feel like all this traveling has kind of informed who you are and how you are as a songwriter?
Definitely. I was feeling a little bit stuck after my second record, just because I've written two songs about relationships ending. And, you know, I just didn't want to become that person. Like, don't date her. She'll write an album. So I just went out on this journey, and I was lucky. I was touring a lot at the time. And what I always say is that everywhere I went, a new part of me kind of came out, because you have to adapt to people and their ways. You don't show up in every city going, this is how I am. You come, you know, you just get a bit quiet and you get a bit observant and you come out, and different side of you comes out, to the point where I think so many sides of me came out that the essential sense of who I am became stronger. That makes sense.
Yeah.
And that helps songwriting.
So there has been a kind of progression in the sound over the course of the years. You know, early on you were sort of girl with guitar. At least that was the image.
Mm.
And in fact, this next song you're going to do for us is from that, this is from the second record, isn't
yeah.
it?
Yeah.
And originally has a kind of acoustic flavor
yeah.
to it.
I always, because that's what I could do. It was always about do what you can do.
Mm.
And I started out, me and my brother were both sort of self-taught, and you know, at the beginning of recording it was like, I only know how to press a button and then play guitar. But over the years you come to new technologies and new processes,
mm-hmm.
so this is kind of what I can do now.
All right, well, let's hear the song Paper Forest, subtitled In the Afterglow of Rapture, and you'll find it on Emmy the Great's album called Virtue, her second full-length LP. So we're going back a couple of years for this song. Here it is, Emmy the Great, strapping on the guitar, Robin Moss on guitar, Michael Evans behind the keyboards, and another live performance here in the Soundcheck studio.
You're not unlucky, you're just not very smart. These things will never leave you, they're as close as you can get to a blueprint for the future, but you can call it fate. It's like these days I have to write down almost every thought I've held. So scared I am becoming of forgetting how it felt. These fears, they will unravel me one day, but still I am afraid. But I'm blessed just to be more or less standing in the afterglow of rapture with the words the rapture left. Blessed just to be more or less standing in the afterglow of rapture, but there is no rapture left. Oh, now you're blessed amongst all women, now a man who's very good. He tells you how you feel until your life is understood, and he leads you through it arm in arm as though there was a map to guide the way. And now you write because you love him, now you write because he's kind. You write so much you look up and you wrote yourself behind. You're standing in a labyrinth of paper and the map has been erased. But you're blessed just to be more or less standing in the afterglow of rapture with the words the rapture left. Are you blessed just to be more or less standing in the afterglow of rapture, but there is no rapture left. Break us open and the things that make us feel like these accidental meetings up in bottoms of the way are not so much our choice but in the blood of how we're made. Like the way I have to write down almost everything I see so that the record does obscure the thing the record used to be. And I know I'm not unlucky, I was just born this way. Blessed forest. And a paper forest grows up in the supermarket aisles. Alarm clock fingers turn, they're counting seconds like they're miles. And you say, wake up now, cause I can see no paper forest.
Once again, Emmy the Great and her band live on Soundcheck with the song Paper Forest, subtitled In the Afterglow of Rapture, a song from the album Virtue, which came out a few years back. For the most part, though, Emmy and her band are playing some songs from her latest EP, which is called S and which is out now. So, Emma, how did you get the nickname Emmy?
My brother calls me Emmy, and I can't remember. Someone at school used to call me Emmy because there was another girl called Emmy and I didn't want to be called Emmy, so he thought it would be funny to do something that I didn't like. Mm-hmm. And then eventually it became my actual nickname as these things happen. I mean, it could have been worse. You know, it could have been a really derogatory name. It's kind of a passive-aggressive nickname that someone gave me.
And which you would now have kind of taken to heart and made something of.
Well, it's funny because I was Emmy for a while, and then I went back to Emma. My stage name is still Emmy, but people call me Emma, so everyone gets very confused.
Yeah. Well, I actually had to ask you before you arrived how to address you in conversation, and you were kind enough to tell me that I could call you the Great One. I think Emma will do for the moment, though. But
you can call me Emily. Some people call me Emily.
But is that your name?
My name is spelled Emma-Lee. And it's very confusing because hyphens don't even register on most forms.
Right, but see, when you say Emily, I'm thinking E-M-I-L-Y.
I know, it's a conundrum. Yeah. It's just too much.
All right. I mentioned at the top of the segment this song you did some years ago called Seattle. On the new EP, there's a song called Solar Panels with its repeated references to California.
Oh, yeah.
It seems like, you know, there has been this kind of European fascination with America, and especially with, like, the wide open spaces of the West.
Well, when I talk about making this EP and the album that follows, it was very horizon-based. I was going to a lot of places where I was seeing very wide horizons, and either they were filled with these crazy-looking buildings like Tokyo, or just sheer desert like California. And I think that's probably something that's always kind of gripped me.
Yeah.
This idea of how wide is the sky and what can you fill it with?
That song Seattle is like this most poetic description of a sunrise, see the sky forming like a wire, a blue sky forming like a wire, warming up America.
Oh, that's very kind. Thank you.
Yeah. But, you know, again, it seems to go back to something that we see in, you know, it's certainly evident in a lot of European filmmakers, you know, this kind of fascination.
It's Hollywood, isn't it? The first thing that you do when you become a kid with tastes, you know, in popular culture is you watch American movies and we romanticize it. The first time I came to New York, I was like, oh my God, it looks like a movie. Like, everywhere I went, I was just staring upwards because I'd seen it. I'd seen it all. I knew exactly what it looked like. Yeah. And I think that's probably what... And I mean, you know, everywhere in the world's made a good contribution to pop music, but like probably the tropes of pop music, the main themes, I think those are very American, you know, cars and rock and roll and driving fast and dying young and all that. And sure,
California.
Exactly. So, the Beach Boys have done a lot for that kind of thing. And, you know, California Dreaming.
Right.
That the song Solar Panels, I realized after I wrote it, I was like, oh, I think I've just stolen an entire song off the Mamas and the Papas.
Right. I was wondering about that because their song is California Dreaming and Solar Panels refers to dreams of California repeatedly.
It's just these themes that, you know, they're so perfect that you almost don't want to mess with them.
Yeah. Now, you've done, in addition to writing songs, you've done a fair amount of prose writing as well for The Guardian and Noisy and places like that. Did you study writing or journalism when you were in school?
No, but I really wanted to be a journalist when I was a kid. I used to have a house newspaper for us. I would distribute it around the family and be like, front page, parents are boring. Poll. it's a dream of mine to be able to write for these people. So I try and do it as much as I can.
And is that a different kind of mental muscle, the writing that way?
It's really helpful because otherwise sometimes I'll sit down to write a song and I'll want to write about something so prosaic that it's just ugly.
Hmm.
You know, and I'll spend days and days trying to bash out this song about, you know, the music industry and record sales. But actually, I can write an essay about that.
Yep.
And write a song about something nice.
So this EP is simply a harbinger of things to come. There's a full length on the way.
Yeah, it's almost finished.
All right.
Yeah.
Emmy the Great with us here in the Soundcheck studio with her band. You want to do another song from the current EP for us?
Oh, yes, please. Thank you.
All right. This one is called Social Halo. Once again, Emily Moss playing the guitar and singing, Robin Moss on electric guitar, Michael Evans behind the keyboards, doing some backing vocals. For the moment, the EP, the current record, is called S, full length coming later, and here now a live performance of Social Halo by Emmy the Great.
Social halo.
A final live performance from Emmy the Great here in our soundcheck studio. The song is called Social Halo, and I think when she's singing about Soho there, it probably means a rather different one from where our studio is located in.
No, it's the Soho.
It's the Soho? Yeah. Manhattan, not London?
It's the Soho, yeah. Oh. But there's a Soho in so many cities that every time I go to that city, I can be like, now this is relevant because...
Yeah, all right. Emma, before I let you go, there's a line in that song that, struck me the first time I heard it. They called me Yoko.
Mm.
Is that a reference to... kind of a veiled reference to your own family being of mixed Chinese and British?
Yeah, sometimes. I mean, like, I like to throw in some Asianisms here and there, but also Yoko is my favorite Beatle. Am I about to get massacred? I think she's unfairly treated in
Absolutely.
Popular culture.
Yeah.
And I just think she's such an art. She's such an important force in art. And, you know.
And she's been on the show a couple of times, and she is a delightful woman who is still, you know, finding new ways of being creative.
She's just... yeah, such an inspiration.
At an age when most people are like ready, you know, to just turn on the TV and give it up.
She's always doing something new and exciting and frightening. So,
well, I am very much looking forward to the next full-length record from Emmy the Great. Emma, thank you so much for being with us today.
Oh, thanks for having us.
This Soundcheck episode was originally recorded back in 2015, but as it happens, there is a new Emmy the Great LP coming this fall. The album will be called April, although it won't be out until October. And in the background, you're hearing some of the initial single from Emmy the Great. The song is called Dandelion/Liminal. And our technical director is Irene Trudell. Our producer is Karen Havlick. I'm John Schaefer. Thanks for being with us for this edition of the Soundcheck Podcast. Can you believe it's almost June?